we're back with another podcast here at the Pollock Library, Cal State Fullerton. This module is all about citing your sources in APA format. We'll talk first a little bit about plagiarism, but we'll spend most of the time talking about how to cite your sources in APA. What does that mean? Why do you do it? When do you do it? And specifically, how do you do that correctly? So first, plagiarism. What does that mean to you? What do you think plagiarism is? Well, there's several possibilities or flavors, all equally foul, but let me give you a few examples. Plagiarism could be when someone's writing a paper and they use a direct quotation, word for word, a copy from another work without identifying the name of that source, borrowing work from others. It could be a vague or incorrect citation. You want to leave no doubt as to exactly where you obtained the information that you are incorporating and using in your paper or your project. Also, paraphrasing without identifying the source is plagiarism. A working definition of plagiarism actually comes from the Latin plagiarius, meaning one who kidnaps, actually having to do with a child, taking someone else's child or baby. Later it becomes literary thief, so very specific to literature. And if you can read on the screen here, I didn't just make that up. I am citing my source here. I got that information from the Oxford English Dictionary, the OED, the second edition, published in 1989. All right, so a definition of plagiarism, several different components here. Again, quoting material without proper attribution. Passing off someone else's ideas as your own, even if you've reworded it or paraphrased it. Imitating a passage's structure or argument without attribution. Or concealing the extent to which you've borrowed from a text or another source. Cal State Fullerton has a lot to say about plagiarism. If you go to the Dean of Students' Office and Judicial Affairs, they have a significant website here that talks all about plagiarism, how to avoid it. And their definition here is plagiarism is the unacknowledged and inappropriate use of the ideas or wording of another writer. And they take this very, very seriously. It's considered a grave violation of academic integrity, and the sanctions against it are correspondingly severe. Academic theft. So you want to avoid this at all costs. So let's move on from the negative and let's talk about how to avoid plagiarism. And that's really identifying and providing attribution for all of the information sources you use in your, you know, to help you craft and construct your paper or your project or whatever it is you're working on. And you do that by citing your sources. That typically is providing the name of the author, the name of the work itself, enough information, we call this bibliographic information, that would allow your reader or your user to track down that original source, get it in their hands, and examine it for themselves. So, of course, we do this citing your sources to tell your reader what resources you use to help develop your thoughts and craft your paper. And you do it for several reasons, in addition to avoiding plagiarism. Citing sources really helps you back up any of your claims with documentation. You know, if you're pulling out statistics or evidence, where did you get that? It will strengthen your argument if you have several reputable sources that are providing that information. It also lets your reader know where you got that information, so if they want to examine more and follow up on that, they can do that. And then in academic integrity, it gives credit to the original author. Likewise, you would want someone to cite you if they were using your ideas or your arguments or your investigations or projects. All right, so I have on the screen here an article from a scholarly publication called Social Science and Medicine. It's an article entitled The Physical Challenge of Early Breastfeeding. It has one author, Kelleher. It was published in 2006. So I just want to show you a real example here of how scholars and writers and researchers cite resources. So here, even in the first paragraph, in her introduction here, there are one, two, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Even in the first two paragraphs, there are nine, she's citing nine sources. They're not direct quotation marks, but she's in parentheses, in these parenthetical references, identifying where she got this information or what studies are backing up this this claim. So here in the parenthetical, it just provides the author's last name and the year so that you can then flip to the reference list and read the complete citation. Here's an example where she's got something in quotation marks. It's part of a sentence where she has reproduced here the exact sentence that was in that original study. So in addition to the author's name and the year, within her parenthetical references, she also identifies which page she got this quotation from. All right, an additional more parenthetical references. So here I'm displaying the reference list from this particular article, and we can look through those. I'm highlighting the resource, the citation that she used in that direct quotation. So here it gives the full citation, the author's last name, first and second initial, the year of publication, the title of that article, the journal that it's from, the volume issue, and the page numbers. But you can see in the reference list there's a variety of types of sources. Often in scholarly literature, especially in a field like nursing or medical sciences, when things change so rapidly, journal articles are typically the primary avenue of scholarly communication because they come out with such frequency. But you'll find in here, of course, books, you know, websites, interview software, all kinds of resources you could potentially use. All right, a little bit of advice here before we get into the particulars of citing. You know, as you're doing your literature searches in preparation for writing your paper, stay organized. Keep kind of a running reference list as you work. And as you look through resources, make sure before you move on to the next that you've got the complete citation or kind of the address of that item. So if you do lose it, you know, you can always come back to it. And then if you are going to use it, you would need to include that information in your reference list. Also, you should be aware that Cal State Fullerton offers free access to a citation management tool called RefWorks. This is free for Fullerton staff, faculty, and students. This allows you to, as you're doing your literature searches in those databases, dump your citations into your own little database there, manage those, put them in files, organize them. And ultimately, you can then select which ones you're going to use for your paper, and it will help you generate a reference list in APA style or in any other of the styles. There are literally hundreds of styles of formatting. The elements of a citation typically include these seven items for an article. I'm talking about a journal article here. You would need the author, especially the last name and the first two initials, or first initial if only that's provided, the year of publication, the title of the article, title of the journal, volume, issue, and page numbers. One thing to note, if you retrieve the article from the full text online through one of our databases, like CINAHL or Academic Search Elite or Science Direct, you also need to identify that in your reference list by including the name of the database from which you got the full text and also the date that you downloaded that on. It just kind of covers all your bases. You know, occasionally there's some question about the page number from the print version to the online version. This will just really cover you in identifying exactly where you got that article. All right, elements for a book, you'll need the author, the year, title of the book, place of publication, and publisher. For an edited book, like a chapter in a book, you would also then need the author of the particular chapter, the title of that chapter, and then the editor of the book, in addition to the regular elements for the book citation. A website, very similar. You know, you need to identify the author of the website, or oftentimes it's an entity, you know, some sort of organization or agency. Whoever's responsible for the information, the title of the web page. If that is not very clear to your reader, you might also include the title of the overarching website. You'll need to include the URL, web page address, And then, of course, the date that you access that on, as websites change, so you need to document when you are looking at that. All right, specifically APA style comes from the American Psychological Association. And for some of your classes, you may be required to purchase the manual. It's only about like $15, so it's an excellent investment. It will tell you everything you need to know to craft and publish a scholarly manuscript. Everything from the margins to using inclusive language, but we're focusing here, on the reference list and your parenthetical references. All right, APA style, there are two elements. They're separate but related actions. You create, of course, a reference list, identifying all the sources that you used. But then within the text of your paper, you include parenthetical references, so those in-text citations that give that minimal amount of information instructing your users to look at the reference list for the complete citation. So on the screen here, I've got an example of how a citation would look from an article. In the text of your paper, as you're writing along, you've got some information. The example here says, the three-day weekend has become a popular concept in our society. According to a recent study, more than 95% of American public would like Congress to declare Mondays an extension of the traditional weekend. Well, what's that recent study? Well, it's identified in the parenthetical here. I've got the author's last name and the year. So then you flip to the reference list, and here's the format for the citation in your reference list. It's the author's last name, comma, first initial, second initial if provided, period, the year of publication, period, the title of the article, and notice this is in sentence structure. So only the first word is capitalized, unless, of course, there's a word that's a proper noun, you know, a place or a person, or if it's got a subtitle, then you capitalize the first word of that subtitle, period. And then you've got the title of the publication, and that's back in regular caps, but it's in italics. That's followed immediately by the volume number, also in italics, and the issue number in parentheses, but not in italics, and then a space, and then the page range. Notice you don't include like the PAGE or P period. It's just the numbers, 21-32, period. And all these elements are in a particular order so that everyone should know what they stand for. Well, it's in this place, so that's the volume number. All right, citing your sources. I mentioned this a little bit earlier. There is a difference between quoting verbatim and giving kind of the paraphrasing, you know, kind of using your own words to say the same thing. So when you quote something, you enclose that in quotation marks. And just when you're giving credit to the general gist of a thought, that's just paraphrasing. All right, let me give you an example in your reference list here of the format of an article in APA style. Again, here's the author's last name, comma, first initial, second initial, period, year of publication in parentheses, title of the article, period, title of the journal, volume, issue, and page numbers here. A few examples. So if you're looking at the vodcast of this, you can look at some of the examples on the screen there. The second one, I also included that piece of information retrieved January 17th, 2007 from Academic Search Elite, because I didn't go down and track down the print version of this. I actually got the full text from this database, so I need to relay that to my reader. All right, here's the example of a APA citation for a book. Again, we've got the author's last name, comma, first initial period, second initial period, in parentheses, the year of publication, period. The title of the book in italics, in sentence structure, so only the first word capitalized unless it's a proper noun or subtitle, the place of publication, colon, and then the publisher. So in this example, I've got one of my favorite books by Isabella Allende. So I say Allende, comma, I period, 2001 in parentheses, Then in italics, I've got Portrait in Sepia, period. It was published in New York, colon, HarperCollins was the publisher, period. And for a web page, very similar structure, except, of course, I'd include the date that I retrieved it and the website there. A couple little tips for your reference list. You know, they're going to be alphabetized by the author's last name, and they should be in hanging indent form, meaning the first line of each citation is justified at the left margin, but then if it goes over one line, each of the subsequent lines in that one citation are indented 5 spaces. And all entries should be double-spaced according to the APA manual. Now, some instructors, you know, may not want you to take up that much paper, so they may be okay with you single spacing those. But check with your instructor. They're the ones giving you the grades, so they have the final word on this. Let's see, what else? A few little more tips here. In the titles of books, articles, films, or broadcasts, as I said, capitalize only the first word of the title. And the first word after a colon is capitalized again as the subtitle, or any proper nouns. So that's it for citing your sources in APA format, and I will see you in another podcast.